answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We are now back in what we thought at the beginning of the year, before Biden's debate, before the questions about his age, that this would be the state of the race, right? Six, essentially, battleground states. After that debate, remember, the Trump campaign was saying, we're going to put New Mexico in play, we're going to put Virginia in play, we're going to put New Hampshire in play, we're going to run away with this. That was the mood after the Biden-Trump debate. Well, Biden's gone. Harris is the candidate now. So at a minimum, we have reset the map to a traditional battleground state. But remember, after those last debates, it was Trump could win here, Trump could win here, and Trump could win here. Not only did the polls show that, and I'll bring them up, Anderson, but we talked about that after all of my travels into those states. So let's just look a little May and now. Trump ahead in Pennsylvania, you're exactly right. This is no clear leader statistically within the margin of error, but Trump had momentum. This Michigan poll, New York Times, Siena had Biden ahead slightly. I can tell you from my travels, Trump had momentum there as well. And Wisconsin tighter, but Trump with momentum. The question is, don't believe any one poll. Which way is the arrow pointing? Who has the momentum? Well, look at this in August now. Harris up a little bit within the margin of error, but in Pennsylvania, up a little bit more in Michigan, up a little bit more in Wisconsin.
Now, I know it's hard to follow when someone's talking about a lot of numbers and arrows that you can't see. Let me give you the takeaway, as John King of CNN was explaining to Anderson Cottonmouth Cooper. It's a tight race. Trump was ahead a little bit, but not that much, and then swinging back, and with Harris back in the race, and now Walz on board, it's changing up again a little bit. But as he also was trying to point out, we don't look at one election survey at any one time and say, this is it. This is the definitive word on the election. We're too far out for that. And there are a lot of things to come, including, as I suggested in the last hour, my predictions of an October surprise. Did you miss the first hour? Did you miss hearing about the October surprise? Oh, what a shame. You can pull it up as a podcast, you know. LarryConnorsUSA.com or LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. But I'll help you out a little bit. Before we get through this hour, I'll again reiterate what I see coming as an October surprise. It might happen in September, but it's still, quote, the October surprise. Something that always happens in a presidential election to suddenly try to shift the race. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. And maybe what I'm telling you is a bunch of baloney. Or maybe, just maybe, there's a kernel of truth inside of it. In fact, a guest I had in the last hour suggested, yeah, I can buy one of those theories. All right, first of all, welcome aboard. Here we are, hour number two of Larry Connors USA. We're here for you every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. I know a lot of you enjoy it. I see comments back from you. I appreciate it. And you are, in turn, spreading the word to others. You can not only listen but watch. Great. And reminding you also, you do that by going to News Talk STL, Rumble, Facebook, or Twitter. Or you go to Larry Connors USA, Rumble, Facebook. And reminding you also, when you're watching, push the like button. It infuriates the internet gods, makes us look even stronger, and thanks to you we are. And then push share, send it on to someone else. You can multiply. If five of you, just five of you, chose five of your friends or family and sent it out, and then they did the same, think of the multiplication factor. It's bigger than compound interest, seriously. But anyway, I do appreciate your support for not only the program, but for our sponsors. They keep us on the air. They are patriotic citizens every step of the way. So based upon what you're hearing from John King and all the surveys and what they're looking at on their latest survey, what's he finally come on down with? It's kind of come down to this.
It is a very competitive race. We cannot say that enough. A very competitive race. And we lived through 2016. We lived through 2020. You should expect a very competitive race. Polling is you poll 800 or 1,000 people in a state. Some polls do 500 people. The statisticians run the margin of error. That shows no clear leader. We're especially cautious here at CNN how we characterize polling. So this is how I do it. Do not believe any one poll. Any one poll is a snapshot. But when you see a bunch of polling, which way? Right? Who does somebody have clear momentum? Is it a straight line or is it going like this? Right now, in the spring, when I was coming back from those travels, it was going that way for Donald Trump. Right now, it's all Harris everywhere.
All Harris everywhere. That's so far. You know how I like that phrase. So far. But then you have the gender issue in play and the race card as well, which we'll come to in a moment. But let's deal first of all with the gender issue and how John King, looking at the survey polls he's been evaluating, looks at gender issues.
Women are 53% of the population, the voting population, roughly. So if you want to get votes, why don't you go to the big buckets of votes, right? If you can get more women to vote for you, they're a larger slice of the electorate. Look at this. May 2024, again, the battleground polls by New York Times, Siena. Trump and Biden, Trump ahead by 14 points there among men, running roughly even among women. Now look at this. Harris up 20 points, about the same margin among men. Trump's still winning among men. But look at this. So you're talking now about Harris's vote in the cities has come up. Harris's vote in the suburbs has come up. You have a woman candidate, a woman of color at the top of the ticket. At the moment, it is making a very big difference in the change in the race.
Making a big difference at the moment. You got to keep those phrases in mind. Too many just gloss over and say, she's winning, she's winning. Just like too many might say, Trump's winning. We don't even need to bother. No, you do need to bother. You need to make sure you vote, and you need to be very vigilant and make sure we have a proper election. And then there is the race card. Dana Bash brought this up the other day in an interview with J.D. Vance because she's looking for something to get under J.D. Vance's skin and, you know, why not go after him about what color is Harris? What ethnicity is she?
Do you believe Kamala Harris is black?
I believe that Kamala Harris is whatever she says she is, but I believe importantly that President Trump is right that she's a chameleon. She pretends to be one thing in front of one audience. She pretends to be something different in front of another audience. She only speaks to voters behind a teleprompter. Everything is scripted. She doesn't have her policy positions out there, and I think that's what President Trump is getting at. This is a fundamentally fake person. She's different depending on who she's in front of.
With respect, you Please? Changed your position on an important thing, which is Donald Trump.
Of course I did,
and so why are you not a chameleon?
Because, Dana, I've explained to the American people what's different. People change their minds when the facts change. They should. But if you want to be the people's vice president or president, you should have to stand before an interviewer and say, this is why I changed my mind. For example, the media said Donald Trump accused all Mexicans of being rapists and criminals. You actually look at what he said. He did not say that at all. And I think it's important when you see something, you change your mind, and that's all I've done.
Again, he's correct, and he's pushing Dana's race card aside, saying she can be whatever she wants. She can call herself whatever she wants. And, of course, that also applies to gender. She suddenly decides, you know, I need more transgender support. Maybe I'll call myself transgender. She's calling herself a woman. I guess she knows something that one of our U.S. Supreme Court justices does not know, what defines a woman. But the other key here is not only has Vance but Trump been available repeatedly for interviews, making themselves available for full sit-down interviews. It's been 22 days since Harris was basically coronated with Biden stepping out. She has yet to sit down for an interview. And why are these so-called journalists not asking, why isn't Harris speaking to us? Because the best play right now is keep her mouth shut. Have her just say very few things and stick to the prompter when she does. They know that her word salad would suddenly start spilling out onto the floor. But there's a question as to how far they can continue to push this and get away with it. There are several states that are beginning to see some changes happen. I told you earlier about Pennsylvania that There is questioning that perhaps in Pennsylvania they're thinking that the Harris ticket, who regardless of who's on it with her, is not going to help at all. We also have a report that we're going to see a lot of money spent in Ohio to help a Republican candidate win a Senate race in Ohio. And we have already seen, even in the St. Louis area, those of you living in that area and familiar with Cori Bush, progressive Democrats watching pro-Israel super PACs spend a lot of money to wipe out Cori Bush, Jamal Bowman, and taking aim at others. We're talking about the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee's super PAC, $25 million on ads to defeat Congressmen Bowman and Bush, two of the most expensive House primaries ever. As a result, two more mainstream Democrats, George Latimer in New York and Wesley Bell in Missouri, are advancing in safe blue districts. Senator Bernie Sanders, speaking of AIPAC, again, this is the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee, the very one that Cori Bush declared on the night she lost, "I'm coming after you, AIPAC. I will tear your tower down." Bernie Sanders said, speaking of AIPAC, "I think they smell success." Well, Bernie, I agree with you on that. They don't think they smell success. They have smelled success. And he adds, the point is not just them going after Jamal and Cori, which is terrible. No, it wasn't. He says, the intimidating presence they have over every member of Congress. It bothers me that there hasn't been more outrage. I cannot believe this. Bernie Sanders, a member of our Congress, is saying, why isn't there more outrage that a group like the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee spent a lot of money to help elect candidates that believe in Israel and the safety of Jews? And Bernie Sanders said, I can't believe more are not outraged over that. I mentioned to you earlier how they're going to try to pull things off going into the election, and I'd like to repeat it again. The New York Times says suddenly all of the legal immigrants in our nation, they're going to have a chance to rush forward to get their citizenship papers so they can vote in November. I think that's good. They got here legally. They've been waiting. A lot of them been backlogged because of COVID and everything else. Why now suddenly the rush? You know why the rush is underway. Let me tell you how fast it's escalating. The New York Times said all of this now can be done in under 5 months. That's what they used to do in 2013 and 2014. And now, as is pointed out by the chief executive of Boundless, a company that uses government data to analyze immigration trends, says the surge in naturalization efficiency isn't just about clearing backlogs. It's potentially reshaping the electorate merely months before a pivotal election. Every citizenship application could be a vote that decides Senate seats or even the presidency. That's true. But they're betting that these immigrants who have become U.S. naturalized citizens are not going to be voting for Trump. That's what they're betting. I think they're wrong based on just cab conversations or Uber Lyft rides I've had in Vegas over the last year. Most of them are from a foreign nation. Some have already American nationalized. Some still waiting. And to a one, they said, I love this country. This is the greatest country. That doesn't sound like someone who wants to turn back to communism or whatever they escaped from. There's still a question of how many debates are we going to see Harris and Trump in. But Dan Goldman, congressman from New York, who happens to be one of the most wealthy congressmen in the House, $175 million worth, he faces that issue. And if you're asking how many debates, who's willing to debate, the leftist media and Dan Goldman would want you to believe Trump is trying to evade Harris face-to-face.
If I'm Donald Trump, I understand why he doesn't want a debate. Kamala Harris is
he's accepted three.
He said yes to
September 4th, September 10th, September 17th. He said yes to a lot of them. So it's not that he's obviously afraid to debate.
No. He had agreed to September 10th on ABC.
With Biden, who got pushed out.
What's the difference? Why should he not debate whoever the candidate is on September 10th as he agreed to? What is the difference between candidate Biden and candidate Harris?
No, it's fine. He said he would do it. I'm just saying he's also agreed to other debates. You said he hasn't agreed to others. He has. It's the Kamala Harris campaign that hasn't agreed on the other side.
That's exactly the point. Goldman wants you to believe, oh, he said he won't debate if it's not going to be Biden. No, he said he'll debate Harris on that September date. The timing of it, the day after 9/11, or day before, I should say, that's going to raise a lot of questions. It opens up the door to terrorists inside our nation, illegals in our nation. That's not going to go well for Harris. That's assuming that she sticks to it. But Dan Goldman is peddling that lie everywhere he goes. Trump won't debate her. He's scared of her. He's frightened. Come on. I saw a clip of a video the other day. There was a gathering, and a Saudi king was there. I don't know what the event was. Trump was there as president at the time. And he walks past the Saudi king. No one is supposed to touch the Saudi king. No one. Under penalty of death, you do not touch the Saudi king. But he's sitting there in this round table discussion, and Trump walks past him and just kind of pats him on the shoulder. Like, it's good to see you. Whatever he said. I don't know what he said. He just kind of patted him just to, good to have you, whatever. Just a friendly little pat. But Trump knew what he was doing. The Saudi king jerked his head up. Who touched me? And he sees Trump walking away. Never said a word one. Publicly. Trump is afraid of Harris? Really? Does he fear that Harris lives under his bed and comes out at night and might smother him or something? Now, yesterday we had the Elon Musk and Trump long debate discussion. It's getting a lot of critical backlash, as you would expect from the leftist. But I want you to hear some portions of it. It ran on way too long, I would think. It was delayed for 45 minutes. Musk said there were technical glitches or hijacking, things of that nature. Others are saying that, well, they flooded the stream, million plus wanting to listen to it, so that shut things down. I don't know. I'll go with Musk, since he knows the internet better than I do. He says there were hijackers and others trying to mess it all up. But they got it on finally. But you know what Harris' team is doing? They're mocking that Trump sat down with Musk, calling them, quote, self-obsessed rich guys. Trump's entire campaign is in service of people like Elon Musk and himself. This is Harris, the very one who caters to the leftist elite in Hollywood and guys like George Soros. You don't think that they cater to the elite and want their support? What's that story about the pot calling the kettle black? Not a racist issue. But we're going to discuss the Musk interview coming up. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local and
global. People, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local? Really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9/94.1
and NewsTalkSTL.com.
I want you to know that Meguiar Moving and Storage is silver certified, which means Meguiar has a quality reputation helping older adults move local or long distance. And something else to know, Josh Meguiar, president of Meguiar Moving and Storage, is the only certified moving consultant in Missouri. Now, I'll tell you, once you met Josh, you're going to know your move will be easy. And I fully endorse Meguiar Moving and Storage. McGuireMoving.com.
My name is Todd Showalter, and I'm announcing the Right Mind Show is officially running Saturday nights at 5. I'll now open the floor for questions.
Is the Right Mind Show funny at all?
No comment. Next question. Yeah, you, different reporter with the same voice.
Your co-host is very cute.
Not a question. I've got time for one more.
Do you do any impressions on the Right Mind Show?
Yeah, absolutely. Here's Joe Biden getting out of bed.
The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter, Saturday afternoons at 5 on News Talk STL.
Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, now open in the district of Chesterfield Valley. Napoli has the only coal-fired pizza oven. That means an incredible taste you cannot get anywhere else. So enjoy a unique pizza at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the district. And then walk a few doors down and enjoy premium cigars and drinks at Lit Cigar Lounge. There's a perfect way to end the evening. Napoli Pizza followed by Lit Cigar Lounge. A winning combination.
This is News Talk STL.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, bass.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Like, you are the path to prosperity, and I think Kamala is the opposite. Then that's my, I mean, that's my honest opinion. I'm gonna get attacked like crazy, and you know, I've also experienced quite a bit of lawfare myself. But I'm just trying to tell people my honest opinion. And I haven't been really active in politics before. And I'm just trying to point out that my track record historically has been moderate, if not moderate, slightly left. So this is to people out there who are in the moderate camp to say, I think you should support, Donald Trump for president. And I think it's actually a very important junction in the road, and we're in deep trouble if it goes the other way.
So says Elon Musk, admitting that I've always been basically not political, but if I were at all, I'd be left to moderate perhaps. But he says, I do recognize now that what we're facing, speaking to Trump in this extended interview he posted on X and Twitter over last night, he said, if you were elected, it would be better for the country. If it goes the other way, it's not going to be good. And he's talking about financially. Now, I read to you a quote earlier from the Harris campaign mocking Trump and Musk coming together for this gathering as self-obsessed rich guys that would sell out the middle class. Do you remember how you were sold out when Trump was in office? Do you remember that? Do you remember how interest rates went crazy on you? Do you remember the cost of your food and gas, how it just skyrocketed on you? Do you remember? You having a hard time recalling that? You know why? Because it didn't happen. He did his best to protect the middle class. I know they're going to be saying, yeah, but he also protected the multi-billionaires. So what? Let me stop and put it this way. there are baseball players that are making what I consider an obscene amount of money, or basketball players, or any kind of sports, football, whatever you want to call it. They're making obscene amounts of money for what somebody's out there doing their best to support a family and four kids. And they work hard at it, 8+ hours a day, maybe 5 to 6 days a week, and maybe they have to have a second job, or the spouse also has to work. If you're going to have true DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, then take and cap all of those players. They're making a $14, $20 million a year. No. You can't make more than the average U.S. salary. How do you think that would go over? That's Marxism. That's what Harris and them are trying to push on you. But there would still be the elite. We're all equal. Some are just more equal than others, which means you are going to be a peon. Now, I guarantee you there's not a single, I don't care how rabid left they might be, sports player out there, a pro that is willing to say, okay, I don't deserve $20 million a year. I guarantee you, every time they go to the bargaining table, it goes up. And it should. And if they can get it, good. I don't have anything against them for getting it. If the company, players, management, I should say, or the owners of the company, the team want to pay that much, so be it. They're counting they're going to put enough butts in the seat and or get enough TV right money that they're going to have more than enough compensated. I mean, do you really think they're giving out maybe to five players $50 million contracts and they don't think they're going to have some way to pay for it? Of course not. And that's going to be the average guy that is still trying to support a family. Now, if you want ringside seats, plush suites, and so forth, then you're going to have to pay more. But you're still not paying enough to cover their salary, are you? This is what they want to do. They want to constantly divide us. And by pointing out Elon is very rich, so is Trump. Well, there are two rich guys just obsessed with their wealth sitting around talking. They have no concern for the middle class. When is the last time Harris has shown anything to support the middle class? I don't mean controlling that they're being indoctrinated and their children. I'm talking about doing anything to actually help them. To that extent, and Barack Obama can do what he wants. He's free to do so. But when's the last time Barack Obama has been back to the hood or been in any poverty-stricken area? The one president that they've always castigated as the worst president before Biden is Jimmy Carter. And yes, his policies were miserable, but his heart was in the right place. And when he left office, he and Rosalynn began to work with Habitat for Humanity. And they were out there hammering and helping build homes. They didn't do it for a photo op. They did it because it was in their heart to do so. Musk, Trump, do they have that kind of heart? I don't know. That's between them and God. But what do Americans want from their next president? That was part of the discussion last night.
Yeah, I mean, if I could summarize it, perhaps, you know, I think these are issues that I think most people in America would agree with, which is that we want safe and clean cities. We want secure borders. We want sensible government spending. We want to restore both the perception and reality of respect in the judicial system, just, you know, stop the lawfare. And I think that's like, and how are those even right wing positions? I think those are just, that's just common sense.
Common sense. Horse sense that we discussed before. Well, here come the leftists wanting to find a way to poke holes in that balloon that was illuminating Musk and Trump to that extent. And you're hearing mostly from Musk saying, this is what we want is common sense. That's what you bring to the table. Here comes Chris Cizilla. I didn't even know the guy was still around, but he still apparently has some kind of spot on one of the networks. And he looked at that event, which apparently had 1.3 million watching and listening. Here's how he classified it.
It was just kind of boring. I mean, I'm not going to lie, Anna. I'd love to tell you I listened to every single second. I probably listened to about 75 or 80% of it. And if you have ever seen or listened to or read the transcript of a Trump campaign speech, all of what he said last night will be very familiar to you. It was kind of a conversation or interview in name only. Musk would ask something, and then Trump would just kind of go into his usual campaign riff, whether it was about immigration or, weirdly, Joe Biden. Or, you know, he just kind of has – it's like going to see the Eagles on tour at this point, right? They're going to play Hotel California. That's sort of what this was, really a sort of a greatest hits of Donald Trump. I don't know that it convinces anyone who was not already convinced. You know, maybe because it's a different medium, he reaches some people who have not heard this message, but it's kind of hard for me to imagine people have not heard at least most of what he said so far.
Yeah, but aside from that, has Kamala done anything like this? Anything? Even with friendly media? No, no. So here comes another leftist viewpoint, the Variety editor-in-chief.
For most of us as journalists watching it, it was a train wreck. Elon Musk didn't ask very many questions. Donald Trump wasn't fact-checked in real time. But the argument of my book, which is based on six interviews I conducted with Donald Trump, is that Donald Trump sees the world through the paradigm of reality TV and all the seasons of The Apprentice that he starred in. And he runs his campaigns like a reality show. And for him to be able to have this two-hour conversation where he could say whatever he wants made him feel good. He doesn't talk to journalists because he is fact-checked. And so he gets to dominate the news cycle. People play clips. He talks about how his red button was bigger than any other red button, and he's able to get back in the news. And that's how Donald Trump campaigns. So I think even though for us as journalists, it seemed like a dud, for Donald Trump, this is the way in which he brands himself. And I think it succeeded on that level.
Every time the Variety editor-in-chief uses the word journalist, journalist is us, I want to find a trash can, because I'm going to have a real mess on my hands here. And he started off by saying, you know, my book based on six interviews with Trump. You can write a book based on six interviews. Oh, okay. So you must be a real journalist. But anyway, they finally reached the closing point of their dialogue, or their, it was more of a dialogue and mostly a monologue from Trump because he was being asked questions.
I really appreciate this. Has been, to me, it's been a lot of fun being with you. You're an amazing guy. You've done an incredible job and a great inspiration to people, a great inspiration. And I hope you keep going and just continue to do well. And we're going to have a big election coming up. And I think November 5th will be the most important day in the history of our country. I think that election will be the most important election. And I think it'll end up being maybe the most important day in the history of our country. Because if we don't win, I just feel so sorry for everybody.
No, I think we're at a fork in the road of destiny of civilization, and I think we need to take the right path, and I think you're the right path. So I think that's what it comes down to.
Thank you very much, Elon. It's a great honor, and we'll do it again sometime. And it's been really fun, and I hope you got a lot of viewers. I hear you got a lot. But I hope you got a lot. I know you got a lot of them. So I appreciate it. I'll see you soon.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you, Elon. Thank you very much. Bye.
1.2 million. If they stayed all the way, I don't know. But again, if we use a Vice President Harris's campaign reaction, it was just basically self-obsessed rich guys jabbing each other and having a fun time and talking nothing but good things. That would be like a Kamala Harris interview if she ever gives one. And then don't forget what Kamala is going to bring to our nation. If you think we've got illegal immigration issues now, you just wait. Texas Governor Abbott on that when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
John Beale knows that new roofing companies can look big and trustworthy on the internet, but the fact is 96% of new roofing companies go out of business within the first 5 years. John Beale has a reputation for excellence, reliability, plus lowest cost, best roof, best guarantee. Those here today, gone tomorrow roofers, they can't match John Beale. For home or business, trust my friend John. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Loyalty means a lot at J. Ackerman Toyota. That's why during COVID, Ackerman refused to charge over sticker price while others did. Ackerman stayed true to their customers, selling at or below manufacturer-suggested prices. Ackerman will get you what you want, and the service department has the same spirit. You come first. And thank you for making Ackerman Toyota number one in 2023. Ackerman Toyota, AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
If you like premium cigars and spirits, take my advice. Check out Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. The Lit Cigar owners just got back from a major convention in Vegas, and now every day, Lit is getting shipments of special cigars that will certainly amaze you. Check the Lit Cigar Facebook, staying on top of special events. Also, Lit can host a private event for you, your friends, your business. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
As bad as Joe Biden has been on the border, Harris Walz will be even worse on the border if all you do is look at the policies and pronouncements they have each made. Talking about Walz, listen, he as governor was a magnet for illegal immigration by providing state-funded benefits for illegal immigrants, by supporting things like sanctuary cities. He will be a disaster, as will Kamala Harris, if you look at the policies that she stood for when she first ran for president. And what she's done is the person that Joe Biden handpicked to be in charge of immigration issues. You can see under Biden-Harris, we set an all-time record for the number of people who crossed the border illegally. You can only imagine how much worse it would get under Harris-Walz.
And I do not want to imagine, and nor should you, and not only imagine, you do not want it to happen. Our national security is already at stake. We do not know how many terrorists are inside our country. We've caught 100 plus. How many did we get away? You know there had to be others. Why would anyone want to cross the border in the dark of night now unless they are coming in with a nefarious reason, looking to cause chaos, crime, terror, whatever? And if you're looking at the administration to help protect you once they're inside, that, wait till I give you the list of those who want high positions inside the Harris campaign. Before I get to that, you were hearing Governor Abbott talk about how bad Walz is and how he tries to control everything. There's a Minnesota grandmother, Lisa Hansen. When I say grandmother, I always used to have a hard time with newscasters, and I do the same thing, that when they say grandmother, what does that mean? It makes you think elderly, can't really move. They might be that position, but they could also be 35, something like that, and be a grandmother. So the connotation of using the word grandmother is supposed to implant an image in your mind. And when I was in the news business, in the news anchor, I would, when they would write grandmother, How old is this grandmother? She's 48. Well, say she's 48 years old. Well, I'm going to say she's a grandmother, so we can say both, but put the age in, clarify it. You got the age, use it. You're using the word grandmother just because you can play on it. And that's what I was just doing then, as I'm quoting a story from Fox News. I don't know how old Lisa Hansen is. I do know that the way it's titled on Fox News, Minnesota grandma jailed for defying Walls' COVID lockdown orders, and she warns, you do not want tyranny at this level. Now, that I fully accept. We do not want tyranny of any type, and I don't care if she's a 38-year-old grandma or she's 98. She spent 90 days in jail, prison, as they want to call it. I'd say it's more jail than prison, but they're calling it prison, because she defied his orders to stay home during the COVID lockdown. So they locked her up. Yeah, that's what power will do if you have the authority. We're going to have a lot more on Walls before we finish. I want you to hear how when he took a bunch of American students on an exchange program to China, what he told them they should and should not do. And I'll share that with you before we wrap up, plus go once again over what I expect to be an October surprise coming. Won't be a surprise to this audience. You have already heard it. Said, ah, there he was. Larry got it. Nailed it. Or at least maybe only part of it. Or maybe Larry proved he's an idiot. Hey, don't test me on that point. I can be an idiot a lot. I don't need help from your confirmation, but thank you anyway. But here's something you need to know. In addition to what Harris would do with opening up the border, you need to know about these folks who want to get in prime positions, have access to national security details. A Politico article pointing out progressive national security professionals. Progressive national security professionals already are angling for positions in a possible Harris administration, hoping to steer the White House in a different direction on Israel and other issues after they were largely shut out by Joe Biden. Some progressive activists plan to draft lists of people Harris could hire at places such as the National Security Council, the Defense Department. Others are polishing resumes, sketching out policy briefs, mapping their connections to the Harris world. This is all being reported by Politico. They add the progressives' ultimate goal is to influence American foreign policy and national security from the inside. Give me a moment to check something, make sure that it is Politico and not another publication. Yep, it's Politico. I get so much material in from me, sometimes I lose the source and wasn't at the top of it. But they continue and say the progressives' ultimate goal is to influence American foreign policy and national security from the inside. This proved hard to do under Biden, a Democrat and moderate who came to the White House with a massive stable of longstanding aides, many who could trace their careers back to the Clinton administration. It didn't help that progressives have relatively few people in their ranks with significant government experience and foreign policy roles. Their plans, however, are a sign that Harris will face pressure on both policy and personnel from the left when she wins, if she wins. One progressive policy thinker who has advised Bernie Sanders said, we have not had the opportunity to build as big of a bench of people with as high-level experience as we do now. What I'm hoping is that Kamala Harris and her team will commit to helping us build that bench. There are going to be a lot of people who eventually can develop and execute and implement a foreign policy that is actually fit for this moment, might I add, and be a disaster for our nation. Be a disaster for our nation. They will sell this nation out. I'm looking at the rest of this article, and I mean, it's one think tanker is quoted in here saying he might try to make more media appearances and arrange private briefings for people connected to the Harris campaign as a way to raise his profile and get ahead of other job seekers. but all of them want to be in a position where they can change the direction of our nation. They don't love it. They think it's colonialist. It is bad. It's racist and all these things. And yet everybody in the world would love to be here rather than where they are. And we still have so many illegals coming in for a better life, much less coming in to maybe wage terrorism. But as far as these folks are concerned, I just want to be in a position where I can make things happen. And it's not going to be good if they get that opportunity. I want you to keep all this in mind and share it with others. Share this program with some of your friends that are on the side. They're not sure what they want to do. They're fed up with politics. They don't like Trump. Well, you need to remind them what is going to happen if Harris wins. If you want people like this leading our administration and our National Security Council, setting rules, regs, and also everything else that goes with it, that's what you're going to get. The world is almost on fire, getting closer. And then the warning bells about our U.S. military capability and needs have been ringing. Now they're louder than ever. Retired General Jack King pointed out how our Navy is underwater.
We're trying to catch up, right? Because we dug this hole for ourselves because of the 9/11 wars, we were focused someplace else. But we're challenged to catch up. You know, China builds 8 to 9 frigates a year. We build one. And there's a number of reasons for it. One is the labor force, trying to get skilled workers to do this. That's been a problem. And when you have a budget that's been in the tank for years, and then you want to start up and increase the production, the workers aren't there. They can't find those workers. The second thing is the Navy and its processes. They've been criticized for it, and they deserve the criticism. They changed the requirements. They changed the design as a result of it, as opposed to taking a year to build the ship. It takes years to build the ship. That's the reality of what has taken on. And when you compare our shipbuilding industry, which used to be number one in the world, China, South Korea, and Japan, wow, all do shipbuilding much better than we do. Their processes are better. They've got a highly skilled workforce in doing it. That's just the reality.
Retired General Jack King, China, Korea are better at building ships than we are. We just basically handed them. We handed that to them. This is like, okay, we're going to build a ship, get everybody together. We got all the parts here. Oh, we don't have any wrenches. We don't have any tools to put pieces together. We don't have any welding torches. Oh, well, I guess we'll have to figure out a new plan, start all over again. Every delay adds to us being at a disadvantage. Intending or just poor planning and thinking? This is where we need leadership. And one man who wants to be in a leadership position as vice president would be Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, running mate with Kamala. You know he's been obsessed with China. He and his wife actually got married in China in Tiananmen Square on the date of that massacre, as they wanted to have a date they would always remember. A day that people were slaughtered, you want that to be your anniversary date? Really? And he brags about how great they were to me. They just loved me. They were great. In fact, to the extent that he looks more and more red. I don't know that he is, but he sure seems that. And then he took a group of students on an exchange program. He set it up, and it was funded by the Chinese Communist Party. Bring some of your American students over so they can see our world. Well, yeah, they wanted to go and an opportunity, but you know what he told them? When you go to China, downplay your Americanness. I thought it was a cultural exchange program to go learn about their culture and show some of your culture. No, Governor Walz, in taking these students to China, stated, when you go to China, downplay being an American. Just be one of the vanillas. I'm looking at a piece that New York Times bestselling author and Breitbart News senior contributor Peter Schweitzer said. This is odd. You're having a cultural exchange. The purpose is to learn about the other culture. You can like China. You can like the Chinese people. The question is, when you set up an exchange program and you're not dealing with the Chinese people, you're dealing with the Chinese Communist Party. Those students didn't have any idea. They got a chance to go to China. I would have taken that opportunity if I'd been them. But then when I'm told, downplay yourself being an American. We talked earlier about the Musk and Trump interview. Back and forth. And, of course, it was softball all the way. But at least he's doing something where Harris is still hiding out 22-plus days. No big extended interview. It's agreed only one debate, and that might not happen. So at the Monday press briefing, this was yesterday, I just didn't have time to get to it, the Washington Post asked in advance of the Musk-Trump interview last night, what role, listen to this, what role does the White House or the president have in sort of stopping that or stopping the spread of that sort of or intervening in it? Some of that was about campaign misinformation. He's asking the White House press secretary, what role does the government have in stopping what they were having on Twitter, owned by Musk, to have an open conversation and let Trump say what he wanted to? You want the government to have that role? And you want to claim that Republicans and Trump want to destroy the Constitution? Do you know what number one is in our Constitution? Freedom of speech. And yet here you are asking at the White House press briefing, what role should be taken to clamp down on misinformation? What role should the White House play in it? This is a Washington Post reporter. Censorship. All right, once again, for the record, because if I'm wrong, you can mark this date down. It was August 13. Larry made such a fool of himself. I'm suggesting a possibility of two October surprises. They may happen in September or October. Often October surprises in advance of a presidential election. Something startling happens that is meant to change the direction and maybe affect one party or the other. My first is that Walls is such a burden now for Harris, everything around him, including what I just read about his links to communism and his basic enjoyment of being there with them, that he might suddenly, you know, I don't feel too well. Maybe I should step aside and you choose someone else. So she gets a second pick. That's one thing I'm suggesting. That could happen, and or this next one. They decide to invoke the 25th Amendment. If Biden won't move out on his own, they use the 25th Amendment, and they decide that he's not fit. She is made President of the United States before the election. She would be running as an incumbent. President Harris running. Think about it. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.